Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, October 16th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArace.net. So quite a bit of news to talk about today. I won't waste any time. We'll get right into it. But I wanted to mention quickly that myself and Cole Sheldon broke down the entire UFC Boston card yesterday in full, all 13 fights on the card. So go back and check out yesterday's episode with me and Cole breaking down the fights. All right, let's get into today's news. There's quite a bit of news, so I'll start right away with the big stuff here. George St. Pierre did an interview yesterday with ESPN. And he says he would come out of retirement to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. So we've heard some rumors, I guess, in the past that he was interested in it. His coach, Firas Sahabi, said he would be interested in it. But I don't feel like we've heard GSP actually say, you know, point blank, I will come out of retirement to fight Khabib. In this interview, he did. He said, you know, retirement is just a word, basically. And he said that he could be coaxed out of it with a big enough payday. And basically, that's what he said. He said, you know, if the numbers are right and the contract's good, I'll come out of retirement to fight Khabib. So, you know, I posted the news on BJ Penn and it blew up and people want to see this fight. I want to see this fight. It's a great fight. It's a legacy fight. Khabib 28-0, one of the greatest of all time. GSP, arguably the greatest ever. Yes, he's a lot older than Khabib. He's obviously in his late 30s now, but GSP is one of the greatest ever. And stylistically, this is such an interesting matchup. You have GSP, who's arguably the greatest wrestler in MMA history, the most effective wrestler in MMA history, against Khabib, who's the best wrestler right now, maybe the best ever himself. So to me, it's a super, super interesting fight. It's a fight fans want to see. It's a fight I want to see. I'm sure you guys want to see it too. So I'd love to see this matchup. I want to see Khabib fight Tony Ferguson first. That seems to be what is going to happen. It looks like he's going to be fighting Tony early next year. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But after that fight, if Khabib wants to fight GSP and GSP's ready to come back, I'd love to see it. So I don't know if that's going to happen in lightweight, catchweight, welterweight. Not 100% sure what weight class it'd be, but I don't think it matters. I just think it's a really interesting matchup. And I think, you know, the UFC is all about making the biggest fights. I think the fans want to see the biggest fights. And to me, GSP versus Khabib is the biggest fight the UFC can make. A few years ago, it would have been GSP versus Conor, but with Conor losing and Conor really not being active the last couple of years, I think GSP versus Khabib is the biggest fight that the UFC can book right now. So count me in. Again, I want to see Khabib versus Tony Ferguson first. That fight needs to happen. But after that, if Khabib beats Tony Ferguson, you got to do the GSP fight. That's the fight that people want to see, and it's a fight that would make the UFC a lot of money. Speaking about this fight, Bovada has actually opened the line for it. Khabib opened at minus 400 and GSP opened at plus 300. So keep in mind that Bovada, they opened some of the bigger like name fights, I guess, from time to time, but the limits are extremely low on these lines. And the line would be obviously moved. Minus 400 for Khabib against GSP is just way too high. Obviously, Khabib probably should be favored here because he's been more active. Obviously, lately, he's younger, undefeated. There's a lot of things to like about Khabib in the matchup. But at the same time, GSP needs to get respect. Yes, he's a lot older. Yes, he hasn't fought since 2017. But who can forget what he did when he came back out of 4 years retirement and smashed Michael Bisping and took the title at middleweight. So you can't count GSP. At plus 300, you have to take GSP. But again, those odds will shift if the fight happens. And the limits are very low right now. So it's worth mentioning that there's a line about for that fight now. But again, the odds will shift if that fight actually is announced. And I still expect Khabib to be a favorite, but probably like minus 200 or maybe a little bit less. I think it's a super close and competitive fight. Minus 400 is just too high. And again, it's plus 300. It's a no-brainer to take GSP. But at the same time, those limits are so low that it's not, you can't count on this. If the fight's happening next year, guys, you can't count on getting GSP at plus 300. I'll say that right now. It won't be that high. Speaking of Khabib, he was also interviewed by Arab News, and he was talking about basically his future in the sport. He says that he only has a couple years left in MMA. He says probably 2 years, maybe 3 years, five or six fights. Right now, he's 28-0. He said his immediate goal is to get the 30-0, undefeated record there. And then he says his goal is to get to 34, 35 fights. That's what he says in the interview. So we'll see. I mean, who knows? He says that you have to know when to step away. And I think Khabib is a very smart guy. I think he realizes that it's a young man's game. And he even says in the interview, which I thought was really interesting, he said, there's so many young and hungry guys coming up. They're going to be like killers, basically. And he's just like, you know, I have a couple years left. I'm not sure how much longer than that. So he's smart. He recognizes that he's not going to be here forever. He's very much like GSP, who got out at the right time. Although, ironically, he might come back to fight Habib. But either way, yeah, it looks like it'd be probably 2 or 3 years left in May, and then he'll call it quits. So, you know, Tony Ferguson will be one of those fights. And then GSP, I mean, Tony Ferguson, if Khabib beats him, that'd be his 29th win. Wouldn't GSP be a great fight for his 30th MMA fight? I think that'd be a great fight. Imagine he beats GSP and goes to 30-0. That'd be amazing. And then you'd have to start talking about being the Mount Rushmore of MMA, although I think at this point you probably already have to. And I want to mention Tony Ferguson quickly. He apparently is hoping to return in early 2020. Nolan King actually has a little bit of news. He had like a tidbit basically saying that he had heard from some sources that Tony's time frame is to return in like February, March, April, that kind of area. And that pretty much matches up with Habib, who wants to fight Tony in Russia. So makes a lot of sense. Tony Ferguson versus Habib next year in Russia in early 2020. And I mean, if he beats him there, you could set up that GSP Habib fight for the International Fight Week in July, and that'd be a sweet fight. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm definitely assuming that Tony will get that next title fight. And if he doesn't, I mean, fans are going to ride because he deserves this title fight. I know it's been a fight that's been nixed 4 times, but it's got to happen now. John Jones is back in the news, as he always is. A couple things to talk about John Jones here. First off, and this is going to be what the fans are interested in more, he wrote on Twitter that basically said to Anthony Rumble Johnson, he's like, hey, man, you know, we've always been cool, but if you want to get choked out again, I'll be happy to choke you out, which I thought was hilarious and awesome because this fight is so awesome if it happens. It's a fight that I think all of us wanted to see a few years ago when Rumble was at 205. Rumble obviously fought DC instead. Jones was having his issues with the commissions and stuff. But, you know, right now Jones needs an opponent, and there's really no clear-cut number one contender. I would say the winner of Reyes and Weidman this Friday is probably the front runner for that. But after that, who is it? Like the winner of Blachowicz and Souza, Anthony Smith in a rematch? Like there's no real clear-cut number one contender. So I think Rumble actually has a good shot of getting a fight with John Jones. He probably needs to get another win. Again, he's going to return probably in early 2020. And at this point, can he even make the weight? You know, according to Rumble, he's weighing, you know, between 260 and 270 in that area right now. So can he even make it to 205? I'm not 100% sure. But Jones seems to be interested in fighting him. So that'd be a great fight. It'd be a big fight. Rumble's got that one-punch knockout power that actually could change the complexion of the fight, which makes it very interesting. You'd have to favor John Jones, obviously, because his submission defense is not very good. I think all of us can agree on that. And also his cardio is not great, but he's still got that one-punch power, and that first round will be very, very interesting. You can't forget what he did at DC where he dropped him, but again, he gassed out and got choked out. So that probably happens here too, but it's at least interesting enough where he could knock him out in the first round. And I'd love to see this fight, and fans also seem to be very interested in this matchup as well. John Jones also pleaded yesterday to a no contest in the strip club incident, and he's been given probation. So, you know, I think fans are going to say he got off again easy. We don't know exactly what happened that day, but the good thing is at least he'll be able to fight soon and he doesn't have to deal with – well, we'll see. I mean, it says that he's not allowed to drink or use any drugs for the next 3 months. We know that John Jones loves smoke marijuana. Personally, I really don't even consider that a drug. I live in Canada. It's illegal here, but in the States, I'm pretty sure that it's not exactly legal. So hopefully they don't do like a random test and he has marijuana system because that would suck for him. Even though, again, I don't really necessarily consider it a drug, but yeah, I hope that the probation thing goes by quick and then John Jones can get a fight booked and he can fight and he makes it to the fight and there's no issues with the police. But yes, no contest in the strip club incident. The California State Athletic Commission did a hearing yesterday, and Mark Raimondi, he did some really good reporting. I give him props. He did a good job yesterday. Those things are tough to sit through, honestly. Like, it's easy for us to sit at home and look at Twitter and read the, like, Cole's Notes versions of those, but those things last a long time, and sometimes it's kind of boring. But either way, there's a few things to talk about there. Aspen Ladd appealed the Jermaine Duranderby decision, which I talked about yesterday's podcast. And surprisingly, she did lose, but it was 3-2. So two commissioners actually voted for Aspen Ladd's appeal to be successful, which I thought was crazy because, again, that stoppage was early. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And I complained about it on this podcast back in July that I thought it was an early stoppage. But it's very hard to go out there and be like, well, the stoppage was early, but we have to appeal this because the fight should be run back and should be no contest. It's very hard to appeal that. I thought it was interesting, though, that basically their argument was that Herb Dean was discriminatory towards women, and that's why he stopped the Fire League. I feel like that wasn't the greatest argument, although apparently one of the commissioners really did believe that was the case. I don't think that's a great argument. I just think it's a bad stoppage by Herb Dean. I don't think he's like sexist or genderist or whatever towards women. I just think it was a bad stoppage by him, an early stoppage. Herb Dean is, you know, they call him the best referee in MMA. But I think at this point, there's a couple other guys that that have really surpassed him. Mike Beltran, who also does California State events, the guy with the long beard. That guy probably is the best referee right now. Keith Peterson's a really good referee. Jason Herzog. I think those guys are probably a little bit above Herb Dean at this point. But Herb Dean still is one of the better guys in the world and one of the most recognizable MMA referees. So to me, it's very hard for these guys to go out there and say that Herb Dean's discriminatory. I think that was pretty tough sell, and they lost their appeal. So Aspinall leaves the appeal. The knockout loss stands, and she'll be fighting Yana Kubitskawa later this year, I believe, at the UFC Washington DC card. But man, it's crazy that it got that close, 3-2. So one more commissioner voted for it, and it would have been a no contest, which is very surprising in my opinion. Also, California State Athletic Commission has passed new weight cutting regulations, which will take effect next year. They're very interesting. Basically, fighters cannot go above 15% above their body weight on fight day. So, if you weigh, 170, you can't go above 15% the next day, and they'll weigh you on the scale. So whatever that is, what would that be? 15, and I think it'd be like, 195-ish, something like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of controversy now. You know, a lot of fighters are out there saying, I don't want to fight in California. And not only that, but there's the argument that fighters will cut weight twice. They'll cut weight on fight day, which obviously is even more dangerous than just cutting weight on weigh-in day to make that weight limit. So if a guy, he's got to make 195.5 or whatever it is, if I was them, I'd bump it up to the next full pound. I think that's more fair in my opinion. So you give a little bit of leeway, but, just say a fighter has to come in at 195, or 196, let's say, and they are at 200 that day. They wake up at 200. They're going to have to probably cut that 4 pounds. They wouldn't want the fight to be canceled. So to me, this actually could be a dangerous thing. Andy Foster says that he's open to having more catchweight fights, which I thought is interesting. The UFC is very strict on not really having catchweights. It's very rare to have catchweight fights. We did see one recently with Casey Kenney and Manny Bermudez, which took place in California on the Anaheim card. They didn't want to lose that fight, and it didn't look like Anaheim was or California was going to commission that fight and sanction it because Bermudez was so heavy. He's actually fighting this Friday at featherweight now, so just a few months later. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I feel like there's going to be a lot of pushback from the fighters here. I feel like there's going to be pushback from the UFC, and I feel like they're going to probably make some sort of adjustment and come to some sort of compromise with this, because a lot of fighters want to fight there, and they might lose some big fight because guys that are bigger fighters that cut a lot of weight won't want to fight there, because again, they won't want to, number one, cut weight twice potentially, and also just potentially miss weight and not be able to fight and then lose their paycheck. Like, I'm not even sure, just say a fighter makes weight fight on the weigh-in day, and then fight day comes around and they say you're too heavy, do they still get their show money? Does the UFC do the right thing, give them their win bonus? I don't know. Like, it's really hard to say. So not 100% sure there, but I feel like the story's not over yet. A few other notes here. Cub Swanson, he's broken his hand, unfortunately. He will be up until 2020, which pretty much writes off that possibility of a Dewey Choice rematch with the Superboy, which sucks because I was looking forward to that fight. But, if he's hurt, he can't fight. Dewey Choice, unfortunately, cannot fight in the States. So unless they do another card over there in South Korea, which I don't think is going to happen, it doesn't look like Cub Swanson's going to be fighting Dewey Choi anytime soon, which sucks because I think a lot of fans are getting excited for that, but it is what it is. And last note here, there is one fight announcement to mention here. Chris Fishgold will be taking on Billy Quarantillo at UFC Washington, D.C. So interesting matchup here. Chris Fishgold, he's struggled a little bit in the UFC. He's a great record in his career, though, 18-3-1, 27 years old, so pretty young, but he's only 1-2 in the UFC. Got finished by Calvin Kattar and Makran Amerkani. He did beat Daniel Tamer, though, so he does have that decent win over Tamer. Obviously, a former Cage Warriors guy, has quite a bit of experience in his career. Pretty solid fighter, I think, overall. Taking on Billy Quarantillo here, another Contender Series guy, 12-2 record, 30 years old. Actually a Tampa native, which is interesting. They just went there. He's actually on a 5-fight win streak. He beat Kamalea Kirk on the Contender Series. He does have a decent amount of experience, I guess, fighting in a few other promotions. He actually has fought the Ultimate Fighter as well. So the UFC is very familiar with this guy, but Yeah, it should be an interesting fight. I mean, Chris Fishhold's got that great submission game, but overall, don't know if he's a great fighter. I guess I'd favor Quartillo here, but you know, it's not like it's going to be a marquee matchup by any means like that. And I think that's all I wanted to mention today, guys. That was obviously a lot of news, but a lot of good stuff to talk about here. One other thing here, which I thought was interesting. Nolan King mentioned that the UFC potentially could be considering doing another flyweight tournament, which I thought was really interesting. I mean, they did it originally back in 2012 when Demetrius Johnson beat Joseph Benavidez, and you had Ian McCall against Demetrius, and you had Benavidez against Yasuhiro Nishitani. So you had that four-man tournament there. So it's potentially they could do it again, because Cejudo, it seems like he's going to have to decide if he's going to do it at flyweight or bantamweight going forward. And bigger fights are at bantamweight. So I feel like if he's going to drop a title, it's going to be flyweight. But this is not set in stone, but it definitely is interesting. There's a rumor out there, and apparently Tim Elliott heard the rumor, and Nolan King's heard the rumor too. So could be a potential UFC flyweight tournament. I'd be more than willing to watch that. It sounds pretty fun to me. But, you know, at this point, if Cejudo drops title, just do Benavidez and Figueiredo for the belt. I think that would be fair for a vacant belt. But if they want to do a tournament with four guys, that's fine with me too. All right, that's it for today, guys. I appreciate you tuning in as always. You can check me out on Twitter at MMMattermartin, and this podcast is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. I'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the show. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. Have a good day. See ya. Bye.